So this is really focusing on pastors and pastors' wives and how to really thrive in ministry, but it is applicable to anybody in the Christian walk, in their marriage and family, and if you're doing any kind of, let's just say, demanding ministry, anybody here doing demanding ministry, okay, then this is for you. This will help you. Okay, so don't think, oh, great, Garrett's going to just single out pastors and wives, and I'm not one. Well, you, first of all, from the last session, you know, you could really help to come alongside a pastor and wife with some of this, but it could apply to you as well. Let me pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to just talk about caring well for our own souls. We know you do such a great job of caring for us if we come to you. But Lord, that invitation is not always taken up, even by ministry leaders. We run right past you to get to the work of ministry. And sometimes I think we do it in a way that we're working in our own strength, and then we wonder why we're so exhausted. So Lord, may we strive in your power. May we take the invitation, if we're weary and heavy laden, to come and get rest, rest for our soul. We know your yoke is easy. We know your burden is light. Ours doesn't always feel that way. So we know sometimes we're yoked to the wrong thing. Lord, you're a gentle and lowly, for no apparent reason to us, because you could be harsh and held highly, and we deserve every bit of it, but you're gentle and lowly in heart, and you take us in, and you strengthen us, and we're so thankful. So just help us to come to you even now in our time here, and may this be refreshing to the souls of those listening. In Christ's name, amen. Earlier I was giving you some stats, remember that? Like, hey, you know, pastors and wives, they have some things on them, but don't we all, right? Don't we all have some challenges, some stresses, some demands on us that kind of wear us down and make us more susceptible to burnout or sin or struggles? And I would just say this, the unique thing about being a ministry leader is that on top of whatever else you're doing, There's this feeling of a burden for the body of Christ, and there's this spiritual warfare that comes in, and you're like, what is happening right now? Like, I did not see this coming. And it catches you off guard, which is, by the way, Satan's ploy is to wait for the day you let your guard down. Or the days, or to take advantage of a blind spot, and it's called a blind spot for a reason, because you don't see it. And if we don't help each other with that, and if we don't prepare for those days, and if we're not prayed up, and if we're not aware that there's a lion lurking, and if you don't know that Satan has a plan to take down your church, then you're kind of just waiting for it to happen at some level. Now, obviously, God, the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. God is protecting his church. Even in spite of you, God will do some amazing things. But wouldn't it be great if it was with you? If you were aware and you were prepared? The other thing about ministry is it never stops. You know, it's not a 9-to-5 job to be a pastor. I mean, some people literally think this, like, how hard could it be to be a pastor? You show up on Sunday, maybe you lead a Bible study, and the rest of the time you're golfing. There's people that think that, and they give money like that, right? They tithe like that, too, because they don't think you need that much because you got it pretty easy, and you don't work near as hard as they do. Well, they got that wrong. If you're a Bible-teaching pastor who's an overseer of souls and you care for your people, you're pretty much like working all the time. And people just have this expectation that you should be available for them as if you don't have anyone else to take care of, let alone your own soul or your family. Throw in again things like unrealistic expectations and feeling like you can't afford to be transparent, and you're sort of a sitting duck for a tragic scenario in your church. So how do we avoid these things? It does not have to be that way. Leading healthy, that's what I'm really trying to teach and what the retreats I do on our property are about. It's like, how, not just how do you lead well, but how do you lead healthy? It's really not optional for a godly leader to not care for their own soul. Remember we talked about 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life and your doctrine closely. So what? Why? So that you might save yourself and others in the process, right? But you're not going to save anybody else if you don't save yourself, in a sense. I'm not talking about self-love here. I'm talking about good stewardship. But what are the unhealthy patterns and obstacles that might be getting in the way? Am I even aware of those? Am I getting any advice on what could be the ways that I could be taken down or blind spots I might have? Am I getting any spiritual development going in my own life and personal soul care as a priority in my life? Am I seeing my family properly, and do I have proper biblical convictions about the priority of my marriage and family? And am I developing healthy rhythms in my marriage, in my walk with God? Where am I incongruent with who I say I want to be or who we say we want our family to be and how we live? Where are the incongruences? Where is the gap? I call it the integrity gap. You have your spoken theology and your high values, and then you got your lifestyle. Close the gap. You might need some help. I rarely, you know, if you ask me how I'm doing, I'm usually going to go, hey, I'm doing pretty well, better than I deserve, da-da-da-da-da. But if you're like, no, Garrett, really, like, how are you doing? I might start sharing some burdens and some struggles. And then you're like, well, how do you think you're doing as a husband? I'm like, you should probably ask Tammy, right? Ask my wife. Because I'm not sure I know. I think I'm doing pretty well, but Tammy might give you an earful about where I could grow as a husband. And maybe she should, and maybe you could ask me more about that and help me in those areas. You know, my wife's very, very respectful of me. She is very careful with her words about some area I need to grow in and vice versa. We don't play the Holy Spirit in each other's lives anymore. We tried that, didn't work well. But she would tell you there's a couple areas, like right now in my marriage, Tammy's like, I absolutely am very, very comfortable with my husband. I feel safe with him. We pray together regularly. I feel like he really cares about me and loves me. I don't think he's got the cherishing thing down yet. I'm telling you. So I'm thinking about that right now, because like, okay, so this is the text I get yesterday. My wife's like, hey, I know you're thinking about Valentine's Day. Thank you, babe. She's like, but don't get me any flowers because I already got myself some. And I'm like, she didn't do it because she didn't think I'd do it. She got them so that, because they had a Galentine's party. Have you ever even heard of that? And a bunch of girls got together and had like a thing. And I'm like, so I don't even get to get you flowers? And I'm like, yeah, that's really a bummer. Now I got to be more creative. Okay. So check with Brett. Okay. Thank you. All right. No, trust me. I will come through with something, even in a snowstorm. Okay, so watching my life closely.